You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 245, Man of Steel, Great or Hate?
And welcome to episode 245 of Legion Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and today, well, today I am Kryptonite Kid. I've got this cool little Kryptonite replica. Look at it. See, it actually looks like it's in the Bottle City of Kandor, but it says Kryptonite, and it's got a little S symbol, and it's green. And if you flick the switch on it, it glows. And right now, it's standing next to a Superman that is running away from it. But at some point, I will put it next to my little bat signal as well.
Aww.
It's one of those cool little super tchotchkes. And it glows green. It's kryptonite. One never knows when one might need some kryptonite.
I got a chunk sitting around the monkey compound, so I understand.
There you go.
You never know when a Kryptonian is going to drop by.
This is what I'm saying.
All right. And I am Darren Noel, and I guess I will be its fiscal year end kid.
Oh.
I'm working crazy hours at the office trying to get everything done before June 30 when everything's got to be done, and, you know, trying to take time out for all that stuff, trying to get back to the gym, and trying to have a social life, and oh, by the way, went back to school. Yeah, so I'm a little.
What's wrong with?
I'm juggling a lot of balls right now. So
hey, now
he's been practicing so his whole life.
My entire life has led up to this moment.
Exactly.
I'm Matt Kramer, and this week I am haven't seen the movie yet, lad. So.
So he will be conveniently dropping out whenever about it.
Yes, I was out of town for the weekend. I wanted to see it, but haven't had a chance. I'll hopefully see it this coming Saturday.
Cool.
Are you staying off the internet then? Because, you know.
No, I just, I'm being careful about where I,
he knows
where
when,
I click around.
He knows
where
when to
click.
Avert his eyes. Yeah.
Be careful where you click, kids.
Yes.
That's a good rule of thumb for the entire internet, really.
I know, right?
Right. Anything Darren posts, do not click on.
You just haven't lived yet, son. That's all.
I am Scott Coles, and tonight I am Father's Day boy.
Yeah.
Not that, you know, it amounts to a lot around this place, but, you know, I got to sleep in, so that's something. Personally, I spent far too much time in the kitchen doing dishes for my liking on my Father's Day, but, well, what are you going to do? I guess somebody's got to do them, right? Yeah, that's it. That's all I got. I got nothing else. I haven't seen the movie either, but I don't really care, so. Because I'm the worst fanboy ever.
Are you?
Apparently.
Oh, okay.
Says who? You tell us.
I don't know. Some guy.
Says me.
Some nerd.
Smackdown. And. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. Oh, and
that's cool.
I'm reporting from the Legion of Substitute. Podcasters Reserve.
Substitute rejects.
Yes, there it is. Hopefully I don't sound like I'm underwater tonight, but I am Stuart McWilliam, and tonight I am Mrs. White Light Lad. Because I hated it so much. Flames on the side of my face. Okay.
Not bad. Not bad for a straight dude doing that, actually.
is this a reference we should know?
That's Madeline Kahn's Mrs. White in Clue.
Oh.
Flames on the side of my face. Breathing. Heavy. Heaving breaths. Heaving.
Nice.
Yes.
Nice.
That is a classic, and I can find that clip on YouTube in a heartbeat. Oh, yeah. But don't click on it. Don't click on it because Matt said not to. So.
Yes. And he's right, you know.
He's always right.
Okay.
Ah. Oh, my. All right. So, so the big news is, of course, speaking of, and there is obvious, the obvious Legion connection in that it's Superman. But we are going to have some discussion of the new Superman movie, Man of Steel, that opened this past weekend, and we are going to get into some spoilery stuff. So we've got to make sure that that we let Matt know before that, so that he doesn't have to hear our crap.
Yeah. And, if I found out he's from another planet, I might cry.
Oh, we won't tell you about that part.
Okay.
Promise we won't.
And when his dad plays baseball.
That's right. And all he wants is to play catch with him.
Yeah, all he wants. He built a field and everything.
And then his Kryptonian dad starts to sing for some reason.
Exactly, because his Kryptonian dad's got a band.
Oh,
and then he starts doing math on glass. You know, because that's what you do.
That is what it's true.
Yeah. All right. So, had a couple of opinions. Are they non-spoilery, the ones that you've got, Darren?
Let me see. I would say no, they're kind of spoilery. I mean, there's some stuff in here would not be considered spoilery, but other stuff it very much so is. So, yeah.
All right. So let's then just change gears for a minute before we
kick Matt out of the time bubble.
Just temporarily.
We're going to slow down to 20.
Yeah.
Tuck and roll, Matty. Tuck and roll.
I'll just go down in the basement for Stuart.
Ah, that's good.
There you go.
Yeah.
Because he loves the basement of the time bubble so much.
Who doesn't? That's where we keep him, you know? All that.
That's where the beer fridge is.
For pink fuzz.
Yeah. So let's look at something that isn't particularly spoilery at this point. Of course, the Man of Steel is directed by Zack Snyder, he who directed Watchmen, 300, Dawn of the Dead. Am I right? The remake of Dawn of the Dead.
Yes.
Is that the right one? Yeah.
Yes.
And also Sucker Punch, and that's all I can think of.
Sucker Punch was not his finest hour, so.
No, but it was pretty funny.
It was fun. Yeah, I don't think it was intended to be, but it was.
Oh, no, not at all.
A very pretty movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they all are. They all are. That's one thing the guy you can say about the guy is he's got a visual style. Starring Henry Cavill from The Tudors as Superman.
Lord have mercy. Hang on. Okay, I'm good now.
And Smallville alumna Amy Adams as Lois Lane.
Woo.
She was in season one of Smallville.
Did she play one of the freaks of the week?
Yes, she did. She was the one that was making the diet shakes that ended up getting kryptonite in them. So she was like sucking the fat out of people.
Oh my God.
if she was a Legionnaire, her name would have been Lipolass.
funny.
Yeah. Let's see who else was in it. A bunch of other people. Michael Shannon as General Zod.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Crowe as Jor-El. Ilette Zurer as Lara. And, you know, I got to say, I don't expect we'll be seeing Michael Shannon in a remake of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert at any time soon.
You never know. Never know.
So, anyway, The big news of it is that it did make a June box office record, right now, the Variety is reporting that they're at a 125 mil debut.
That is not shabby. Not shabby at all.
So it had a lot to live up to, and Man of Steel certainly didn't disappoint. The Warner Brothers Legendary Pictures superhero reboot scored a whopping $125 million stateside debut, the biggest ever opening in June, with an additional $71.6 million from overseas. So, yeah, it's looking that basically $113 million from Friday to Sunday, making it the 18th largest opening of all time, behind 2007's Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. And then the other $12 million was the late-night grosses on Thursday. So about day and date in 24 international markets, including just three major territories, UK, Mexico, and South Korea. And the UK led the charge, contributing $17.1 million, while Mexico and Korea followed, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, so it definitely seems to have, done the first week job. So what'll be really interesting to see, and reviews across the board have been mixed, and they're going to be mixed in our discussion as well. And so that, it'll be interesting to see what the word of mouth does, like what that first week drop off is. All right, so Matt, you want to disappear for a little bit, and we'll come back for a little little SmackDown action.
Sure thing.
Put Maddie in the isolation booth,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, I'm really concerned about spoiling stuff on you. So what I'll do, Matt, is I could even just text you when it's when we're ready.
Whatever works.
Safe.
Yeah.
Is it safe?
I'm exiting the bubble.
Okay. All right. We'll see you in a bit.
The safe word is pomegranate.
Ooh. Don't eat those in Hades. Don't do that. That leads to bad things.
Mm.
All right, Darren, why don't you give us your initial impressions?
My initial impression is that I went into this movie with as much of an open mind as I possibly could, because I've seen a lot of crappy superhero movies in my day.
Mm-hmm.
And I set my bar kind of low. I admit that up front with superhero movies. I know I'm a fanboy, but I've seen Howard the Duck, Elektra, and Catwoman. If the movie's better than those three, then I'm okay with it.
Nothing like setting your standards low.
I know, right? Well,
easier to enjoy things.
I enjoyed Howard the Duck.
It's way easier to enjoy a movie if you have low expectations and you get surprised, mm-hmm. than it is when you have high expectations and you're like, aw, womp womp.
Very true.
So I try not to watch anything before I go in. I try to keep away from the trailers online and yada 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 as much as I can. So I walked in, and my first impressions were that I don't think the 3D helped it much. I saw it in IMAX 3D.
Oh, okay. That's because you wanted you wanted to see the cod piece in all its glory. I understand.
No. I wanted to see it early in the day because I had crap to do, and the regular showing was at 3 p.m. I was like, that's not going to work. So it's a scheduling thing. So I didn't go out of my way to see the ooh fancy because, whatever. So we went in, and theater was packed for the most part. So yay. There were some hardcore fans who had their superhero shirts on. I was one of them. That was fine. And so we started watching the movie, and the thing that struck me about Man of Steel really that stood out was story structure to me, because whenever you get a reboot of a superhero, you have to do the origin for some reason. You have to explain everything that happened before. I didn't mind it so much in this, even though I've seen it 1,000 times in comic and TV and movie history. Because it was broken up in little bits of flashbacks here and there, and it made sense as to when these memories were being accessed, let's say. I think that made it a much better movie had they strung all that stuff up at the front of the movie.
Yeah.
Exactly. So from a story structure standpoint on that, kudos. It actually – that really worked for me.
Yeah.
The movie was darker than a typical Superman movie is, but I figured that's what we were going to get after the success of Dark Knight. You know,
yeah.
Dark superheroes sell. That's what Warner Brothers likes. So,
look at the Avengers. Boy, oh boy, was that a horror fest.
That was so very dark, wasn't it? And I'm not saying they're right about that. I'm not.
But at the time they arrived at that decision, that's what had been proven. Because you know, Dark Knight did like Titanic business. So I mean, you know, there was just they just didn't realize that was just a signal that basically this kind of thing is going to pull in that kind of business, because then Avengers did it. But at the time that they came to that decision, it was like, holy crap.
it was the first successful superhero movie in a long, long time. I mean, yeah. Fantastic Four had kind of, you know, puttered out, and X-Men kind of puttered out. So, you know, when I think I have to say that the script was okay. I think I have to say that the acting for the most part was superb. I think Cavill is Superman.
Yep.
No question. I think he pulled that off. I liked Michael Shannon's Zod. I went back and watched the Superman movies today, 1, 2, and Returns.
Yeah.
Just to kind of put this in perspective. And then I watched Avengers afterwards because of some other debate that was going on online.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Yeah.
Superman 1 and 2, Christopher Reeve, obviously one of the best parts of those two movies. This is, if you had put Christopher Reeve in Superman today, he couldn't have done it. Because Superman back in the seven. Well, no, but he's dead now. I know.
Yeah, that was what I was not saying.
I know.
Too soon.
No. But it's a matter of that Superman was for that time. Those movies are clearly of that time.
Oh, and shit.
No, they really are. I mean, the characters, compared to where we are today in pop culture, those characters are very stock characters, very stuck in the late 70s, early 80s. Lois is as pro-femme as she can get. And I don't think Amy Adams really had the opportunity in this script to really play Lois the way she should be played. She did some cool stuff, yes.
Yeah,
but I would have liked a more gutsy Lois in some areas of the movie and not a...
Uh-huh.
So much a screaming Lois, which we got sometimes. I thought it was a little overdone. So,
which was interesting because we also had Kick-Ass Lois, you know, a few times, you know, and I don't know.
It was very weird. I didn't know where she was at any point, you know.
And it was funny because as we were leaving, Jan mentioned the same thing to me, that it just seemed kind of odd that all of a sudden she's, you know, tough as nails, you know, blasting away at people on the spaceship. And I was like, well, you know, I think they did kind of set that up, because the first thing she said is, it's not a story unless I'm wearing a flak jacket.
Yeah.
So you get
you
get the impression that she's mixed it up in the past. It just seemed very incongruous with the way she conducts herself. And to be fair, part of that is the expectation that Amy Adams brings with her. Right, because we're not used to seeing her in that kind of role.
True, she's the rom-com.
She has become that. Dad. You know, what have I seen her in the most? I have a 3-year-old daughter. I have seen Enchanted a thousand times. So I've seen it more than any other movie I've ever seen in my life. And
is she the one that was in that where she was the Disney princess who ended up in the real world?
That's right.
Oh,
yes.
So there's
some baggage she brings with her from that, and that's on me, because her performance did nothing to say that you know, hey, I'm the Disney princess come to life. You know, but that's always going to be in the back of my mind, and that's one of the things that happens when they bring in someone who is quite well known.
Yeah, and I think for me, Lois here, I think it was a script issue, not an actor issue.
She wasn't given a lot to do. Yeah.
I think where she was concerned, she had some really good moments, but the through line of her character kind of broke up in places I did not understand. Yeah. I loved the mom, Clark's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I loved Clark's dad, even though he has a conversation with Clark that seems like he's the biggest asshole in the world.
I don't think so at all.
Well, see, but it could have come across that way. I know exactly what Clark's dad was saying.
Is this the maybe?
Yeah.
I see. Because I think that when everyone was going off on that, it was taken out of context because it ends with the maybe. And then he gets in. And then, of course, as we knew he would, right after that, he explains what he means.
Exactly.
And so, you know, but
and
they.
He had to explain that.
Yeah, but that, and totally that's the thing. So everyone was looking at this clip out of context and saying, they've made Jonathan Kent a monster. And it's like, no, he's looking out for his son. That's what he's doing. That's
Kevin
what he's there
Costner,
to do.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin Costner just did more for Father's Day than I think almost any dad on the face of the planet. That scene with the tornado was heart-wrenching.
Powerful. Yeah, that was amazing.
Oh, my God. It was like the first 10 minutes of Up in 35 seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, I gotta
everyone was dead quiet in the theater, mm-hmm. and we were all blubbering like little 5-year-old kids. Seriously, it was emotional. And when you get one or two people like that, no, this was the entire theater. The entire theater stopped, yeah, and
we were at a drive-in. There was,
but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
there was
I
not
know
a dry
saying.
Eye when that occurred.
I gotta say, I was when they first announced Costner, it was like, oh, Costner, really? And I totally an about face in seeing the performance. He was really good in it, and
did really really well.
In a way, I haven't felt Costner has been in a long time.
Long, long ass time. Yeah. Yes, I would agree with you, sir.
Yeah.
Then let's talk about Jor-El and Lara. I liked Russell Crowe, but I think he was too Brando.
Yeah.
I think he watched Brando's performance and went, okay, I can do that.
Which is a problem because, Brando's performance wasn't great.
Was not great. He phoned it in.
It was like the opposite of great.
He literally phoned it in. I mean, honestly, literally. If he could have been on the phone, he would have done that, because he refused to read the script. So everything was read off cue cards, and it shows.
Oh, boy, does it show.
I thought he had a little bit more sort of flex to the role, but... Yeah, you're right. It was a little too Brando-ish and Brando-esque.
Yeah.
Brandoid.
It really was.
Brandoid.
Really
Brandoid.
Now, Laura, I liked that for a change, Laura had more to do besides stand over to the side and cry.
Yeah.
About losing her son. Mm-hmm. It was clear in this movie that she and Jor-El were definitely mates and they were in this together. Mm-hmm. And even though she didn't have as much screen time as Jor-El did, I think that this was a step up for her as a character, period.
And
she got to be more involved in it.
Their difficulty in putting him in the ship.
Yeah.
That was shared
between the two of them.
And they've never really done that before. It's always been very much a very sort of cold clinical, all right, get him in the ship, let's get him out of here.
Yeah. Let's get him out of here.
So I thought that moment was a lot stronger.
Yeah, it was. It was totally powerful. I enjoyed it. The art direction of Krypton, it wasn't all the crystals that we're used to seeing.
Thank
so
goodness.
That was nice.
Yeah.
But it really reminded me of some of the Alien sets. It was very, very
gray.
It was very gray. Yes. It was very dark. It was very industrial looking. It was very much like there were, if you look close, kids, you can see phalluses almost everywhere on Krypton. I was like, what is going on with the society? Clearly sexual repression. And then we find out why. So, that makes sense to me. Okay. About the bad guys, Zod.
Yeah.
Zod, I enjoyed. I think Michael Shannon did a good job as Zod. He was crazy. He was insane. But from his point of view, he was doing what he needed to do, and that's what you need in a villain. That's Mm-hmm. You need a villain with a good motivation, and he had one.
A villain that believes what he's, you know, they did a good job of, he's not evil. He's a guy who believes he's doing the right, you know, it's that classic thing where a villain shouldn't think, I am such a villain. It should be more of a, they think that they're doing what's right.
Exactly. And there wasn't a lot of mustache twirling
from him. Not at all.
It was very straightforward. This is what we're going to do. Have a nice day. Boom. I liked Feyora, the female lieutenant. Yeah. I thought she was fun with the scene she had with Christopher Maloney as the colonel was pretty good. I enjoyed those. The tall guy who was the clearly this was supposed to be Ursa and Non, but they changed their names, I'm assuming.
They actually changed their names back to what they were in the old comics.
In the old
Feyora comics. And Jack Sir, right?
Jack Sir.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a nice thing to see.
Well, Jack Sir was the scientist.
Oh, Jack Sir was the scientist.
Oh, sorry, you're right. That's right.
I'm not sure who the big guy was.
Okay. Was the big
guy. Somebody said he was supposed to be Dev M.
Yeah, well, Dev M is listed in the credits.
Yeah.
But we never hear his name called, else I would have perked up and went, excuse me? I'm glad that Superman finally gets to throw a punch. You know? Let me explain, because Superman Returns, he does almost nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing. And I mean nothing. I mean,
Sorry, by nothing, what do you mean?
I mean, we get some super breath, we get some flying, and we get him shivved with a kryptonite dagger, okay?
And we get a bullet bouncing off his eye.
Ooh. That's good for the CGI people. They'll love that. Yeah. They can get that work. So
I don't think anyone is arguing that this is a better movie than Superman Returns, because you'd have to be really stupid to argue that. Because it's not a better movie than anything.
But really, in the Christopher Reeve movies, he didn't punch anything either. I mean, he would take weapons from people and bend them. Yuck, yuck, yuck. That old trick.
Yeah.
There was a lot of super breath in Superman 1 and Superman 2, because it's easy to turn the fan on.
Well, the effects were quite.
The effects were clearly of the time, you know, so fine.
Superman can't punch just anybody. He can only punch people who can take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. I know what Stuart wants to talk about, and I want to talk about it as well.
Oh, yeah. We will get to all of this.
I know. It was nice to see Dr. Hamilton in the movie. It was nice to get those Easter eggs of the Superman cast.
Steve Lombard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It appears that Jimmy might have had a sex change.
No, he didn't have a sex change.
Really? Because you didn't think Jenny was supposed to be Jimmy?
She might have been a stand-in for Jimmy, but at no point did they call her Olsen.
That's true. That's true. So. I was just wondering. It was like the perfect Jimmy moment, though. That was, I did like.
It was just that they realized, Jimmy's lame.
Yeah, yeah. So he got.
That's right. I said it.
He got cut to the side. It's true. It was nice to see Lawrence Fishburne as Perry White. I liked him as Perry.
Yeah.
I didn't have to get caught up the cross-racial at all.
Didn't bother me.
Casting didn't bother me at all. I
hadn't seen him in a while since he'd gotten
bigger.
Bigger, and that was a little shocking, but it certainly worked as Perry White.
Totally,
it did. It did. I did find kind of the ending of the movie. I didn't need to have the whole kiss when it occurred.
It seemed really out of place. It seemed really odd.
It was so like, really, you're gonna do this now?
They were like, oh, shouldn't you
be off saving people?
Yeah. Oh crap, yeah. we've totally forgotten to add a romantic subplot. All right, guys, just come back in. Can you kiss? Let's get that, and we'll just throw it in after the big fight.
Yeah, it was totally out of place there. I
standing in the middle of Hiroshima. I almost expected there to be like the shadow of the two of them, you know, the whole bit.
the whole blast in the background. Exactly. Oh my God, I'm watching Watchmen. What the fuck?
he's like, I can't let it go.
Exactly. There was, I totally bought the whole science behind the science fiction.
Yeah.
I got what they were trying to do. I think it made sense to the audience what they were trying to do and how they were trying to do it. I did enjoy that scene of Superman standing on the skulls. I thought that was an interesting image. Mm-hmm. That was very Watchmen, and it was kind of comic booky.
Yeah.
But it didn't look out of place in the context that it was happening in. So I didn't mind it so much. I think it was there for shock value, you know, to raise the stakes for Superman to make a decision of what is he going to do? Is he going to be with his people or the Earthlings? And that made it clear what his choice was going to be. So I bought that for that. Stuart, why don't you talk now, and I'll buzz in when you're done.
Yeah, because I come in somewhere in between you guys. Darren, you really liked it.
I liked it because it was an actual Superman movie that, despite the flaws it does have, it's certainly not a perfect movie.
And you know what? My thing's actually very, very quick, so I'll just sort of get it out of the way. Because my thing with it is, it seems that they took the notes that people had from Superman Returns, and it was like, no real estate scam? Check. Not Luthor, get a villain that is of a similar power level to Superman? Check.
Check.
And more action? Check.
Check.
If my one word review of the movie is relentless.
Yeah, it doesn't stop.
It's like, you know, and Jan and I will often joke about this, like when the Peter Jackson remake of King Kong. How he fights Kong fights the dinosaur, and they fight and they fight and they fight and they fight, and then it's over, and it's like, wow, that's cool. Kong can totally kick a dinosaur's ass, but it was a tough fight. Okay, cool. And then, oh no, wait, he's back again, and we're gonna fight again. Blah 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 blah. And then it's like, okay, seriously, dude, we get the point. Kong, dinosaur, real tough. Okay, cool. And then again with the dinosaur and King Kong, it's like, we fucking get it. I get it. And so it just seemed to me that it's like, hey, we've got a really cool set piece, and we are going to hit you over the head with it.
And
that's what I felt with this. It was like, yeah, I want some action in a Superman movie, and I want a good chunk of action. But it was like, there was a good half hour could have been cut out of some of that. And so it was just that relentless nature, and to me, the fact that there were no moments of levity to split it up, to cleanse the palate before you go into the next bit, you know. Whereas the other movies, you know, they had some that's why you have a little bit of comic relief in there. And
yeah, there was the scene at the end with the general and his driver. And she says he's hot, and everybody in the theater laughed because it was the first.
It was the first
even attempt at humor.
In the whole movie. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and so, to me,
It wasn't that funny, but
it wasn't. It wasn't funny, but it was like, oh, okay. but we're like 2.5 hours into it at this point.
Yeah.
That's
why Jimmy is part of the Superman cast. He's the comedy relief.
Yeah, and there was none of. You're right. So. Okay, so anyway, that's why I'm kind of indifferent. You know, it was some of what I wanted, but in some cases it was a little too much, and I could have done with just a little more tonal variance to it. But anyway, Stuart, you go.
Okay, well, what happened at the end horrified me so much that it took, you know, the better part of 2 days to start appreciating the good parts, because So almost all the actors were fantastic, and the Kent stuff was really good. I loved the Kents, and you need to. But Superman murdering Zod after, on top of all that just insane level of violence and paying no attention to the collateral damage and all the people that had to be dying as those buildings kept falling down and kept falling down and kept falling down. I was just sick to my heart. I mean, it's like he broke Zod's neck, and my heart was the way I felt.
Totally good. Just if I can just for a second, what's the first thing that Superman does when he's faced with someone who's incredibly strong and incredibly powerful and incredibly destructive?
Gets them out of town.
He gets him out of town. He flies him into space if he has to.
Yes, yes.
Hmm? I mean, come on. That's rule number one.
It is.
Where was that?
Here's rule two.
Don't do it.
Because you can't blow stuff up in a movie.
You can't blow stuff up in a movie.
Movies are all about property damage.
Yep.
Yeah. But
then go to a giant redwood forest or something. It's got to be just as good, right?
Yeah.
Right. I'd be fine with that.
The comic that Scott McCloud did years ago called Destroy with 3 exclamation marks. Mm-hmm. He did this huge oversized comic.
Tabloid size?
Big tabloid size. That was a nonstop fight scene in which the Red Basher and Captain Maximum end up destroying the entire city of Manhattan. And at the end of it, there's the police chief says, well, at least nobody was hurt. And
maybe it's like the World War Hulk thing where he precisely calculated how things would land so that no one would get hurt.
Except that we know that Superman's not that smart.
Well,
he's smart.
But
he's
okay, not smart either.
No.
Well, there you go. All right.
And so, I mean, growing up, I was a real Superman guy. And, mm-hmm. and to see that brutal act, and that, you know, it was like something out of a bad Mel Gibson movie, the way the next snap was, and it was so not Superman that I feel violated. I felt watching your father, you know, run over innocent bystander or something. It was just horrifying to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And a long time after that to be able to appreciate anything about the movie, because it just, right there at the end, it just ripped my heart out.
Yeah.
It took me out of the movie too when he did that, Stuart. It really did. And I was sitting there going, whoa. And I think I heard gasps when Superman did that, because to us, Superman's this icon and he doesn't do things like that. But he has done that before to Zod in particular in the comics.
And that's exactly,
that's where they pulled that from.
But, the reason that was done before is to give his code against killing a starting point because that was the moment where he realized, you know, that was the easy way out. There must always be another way. And that was the catalyzing event. That's the way that when Byrne did his bit, that was what he intended that moment to be, is the moment that Superman is horrified. Superman, it feels exactly the same as Stuart does. And in that he's horrified by that action. And that's where he makes his vow to never do that again. In this case, I thought Henry Cavill's reaction to doing that right after, he had, you know, that like he was revolted by it.
Yeah, he had to sell that moment.
I thought that was I totally get what you're saying, Stuart, and I'd prefer to think that, you know, that we can have a Superman movie where that doesn't need to be the case, where he can just be, he doesn't kill people because he doesn't kill people. You know, I don't need to go out and kill someone to say, I'm never going to do that again. I just say to myself, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, but there's a trope in action movies for I don't know how long now that the villain has to get killed at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt that a lot of this was just following that trope, just like, you know, the Joker dies in every Batman movie he shows
exactly,
up in.
Exactly.
And
which, know, I the, think is ridiculous. The, I mean, I don't, yeah. I don't see why that has to be a part of the superhero action genre.
Why, yeah, why,
at
can,
all.
Why that, can't that was we actually get to
one
the
of the things that made the Avengers better was, unlike all 3 Iron Man movies, actually, the villain doesn't get killed at the end.
Yeah.
He gets captured and hauled off to, you know, Valhalla.
Yeah, but the soldiers all apparently died. I mean,
yeah, they were mostly robots anyway.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah, that was definitely the cop out.
There was still
there,
and that's
you blow
the
up the mothership
thing,
and everything stops working. And that
was a little, yeah, really? Okay, whatever. I didn't like, buy that
hey,
at that moment either.
We got Will Smith's MacBook.
We got to wrap this up. Yeah. Time for shawarma.
That was the only beat in that movie I didn't like.
Yeah. The thing in Avengers, and I hope we'll see this in the eventual Justice League movie. I watched Avengers today because you brought up the collateral damage issue.
Mm-hmm.
That last 30 minutes of Avengers, New York is not unscathed. It certainly doesn't look like Metropolis in the end of this movie.
No, because Metropolis looks like friggin' Hiroshima.
Yeah. I think they overdid it on that CGI, and hopefully they'll realize that, or it's a plot point in the next movie.
Well,
one of the two.
Think about this.
Well, I think both.
Because five
I
minutes.
I think there was an attempt to one up the Avengers with much. You think you guys trashed New York? Watch this.
Watch it.
But five I think minutes also later. It's going to set up Luthor. Luthor is going to
rebuild Metropolis.
The rebuilder.
The land baron of Metropolis.
Yeah. And also saying, look what this jerk did to your city.
Yeah. See, that's. I think the destruction of Metropolis gives Luthor a valid reason to hate Superman.
But everything
and
was
at
okay.
At this point, I'm with him.
But everything was okay five minutes later because they were talking because Steve Lombard was talking about going to a basketball game. Metropolis is fine.
Yeah,
I'm all like better now.
That is kind of Steve Lombardy though. I
mean,
very kind of a douche. I mean, when all the women are running away from him, it's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, but he's kind of a basketball game. He's a sports reporter.
Yeah.
But the fact that there's a basketball game, the city is friggin' dust, and there's a basketball game?
Well,
it's at the outskirts. There's
3 months after 9/11, all the flags went down and the Christmas trees went up, and flags didn't go back up after Christmas. Yeah. So,
and I don't care. If you're an American or you've seen the 9/11 footage, you cannot watch a building go down in a movie without your mind going back to that footage in your head.
Sure.
Yeah.
You cannot do it. It's there and it's part of your memory forever. It's like when a spaceship blows up, and if you were a kid like me, you saw the Challenger blow up on TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's in your memory.
So think of the effect that two buildings had. Now imagine it's 100 buildings.
Buildings, exactly.
I mean, come on.
that's exactly what they were doing with that. It was. We saw one scene in Man of Steel with a cop saying, "Hey, this way," but apparently they were surrounded by buildings going down. There was nowhere really for them to go.
Yeah.
Superman had to save them at that moment.
You've seen Avengers more recently than I have. I mean, an hour or so ago, and it seemed. I mean, in my memory, there were. It was continually cutting back and giving us scenes of people running around trying to get out of the way, and there was a continual reminder that people were in danger here.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, it seemed like we've got like three token people. And other than that one scene with the cops, other than that, it seemed to be, it's just buildings falling down.
Yeah, see, I think they could have taken away some of that fight and shown some of that, and that would have been great.
Yeah.
See what was going on the ground. And that was what Avengers allowed us the luxury. We had six main characters dealing with what was going on.
And that helps.
And that helps. You have multiple perspective in the movie. It's like the difference between watching a Godzilla movie and watching Cloverfield. Godzilla is all about the scientists and the military people trying to put down the big monster. Cloverfield's trying to survive the big monster.
Right. Yeah.
It's two entirely different perspectives. While Godzilla is raging through Tokyo, there are people being killed and injured, but you never see that in the classic Godzilla movies for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just see the planes coming in to attack Godzilla. You know, it's a matter of perspective and what the filmmaker chooses to show.
Now, a couple of little things that I just want to point out that I thought were kind of neat. On Krypton, Jor-El's robot companion from the Burn Years, Kellex, who would, of course, later become the Eradicator.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a neat touch to have Kellex in there. Mm-hmm. Who else did we get? Of course, the aforementioned, though we never actually hear him that by name, Dev M.
I don't recall hearing his name. So.
No, we didn't hear his name.
It was just in the credits.
Yeah, it was just
in the credits.
Yeah, I don't recall them actually running off any of the names.
It was definitely an Easter egg. And I, the one thing I will say about Zod being killed by Superman, even though, yeah, it was an action movie trope, I was thinking about that earlier this morning. Zod says early on when the Kryptonians put them in the Phantom Zone that the Kryptonians didn't have the guts to kill him now. Mm-hmm. They're just going to let him waste away. And in that way, to me, Zod kind of foreshadowed his fate. He was going to push Kal-El. Once he lost his purpose,
yeah,
he had nothing else to live for. And yeah. I think no matter what, Zod was going to push Kal-El. And then you're faced with the dilemma, well, what? How would people of Earth keep Zod under lock and key? They have no technology to. Superman's barely winning this fight. It's a standstill.
Yeah.
So how do you keep someone like Zod under lock and key?
You can't. In that moment, Zod is there, tearing heat vision through the room, about to take out some innocent bystanders, and that's the moment where he realizes, like, there is no way out of this.
Yeah.
There is no way out of this. And it's just, but my shock at that moment was immediately kind of taken away by his reaction to it. Like, I just think like that was really his moment in that movie, that just his reaction to what he's just done. And,
it was heart wrenching. Really was.
Yeah,
I mean, it was a painful moment to watch.
Totally. Totally. On the lighter side, one other thing was when we see Clark at his public school. It is Weisinger Public School.
Good old Mort.
Exactly. I didn't see the Wayne Tech satellite that
Neither
some people
I.
are claiming they said, but somewhere around when we see the oil tanker, I could have sworn I saw a LexCorp sign.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Okay.
The oil tanker had LexCorp on it.
Oh, okay. So it was the oil tanker itself then. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
And when Clark gets dropped off at home, there's a LexCorp truck or bus or whatever. You see that LexCorp logo. So. It's there.
Yeah.
And I like the fact that this opened it up to, yes, this is now a shared universe. And I like in the interviews with David Goyer, he has said that Superman's the first hero. So there are no heroes right now. Superman is the first.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can begin to cultivate some more interactions.
Oh, good.
More
origin
movies.
Stories.
Not necessarily just origin stories, but, you know, we've got to – if they're going to do a Justice League movie, they have to do what Marvel did and get some of these characters out there so we can get their origins out of the way. Because what Avengers was great at, it was not burdened by an hour's worth of exposition.
Yep.
Or origin stories.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. That's
It still takes them a little while to get rolling, but once they do, it's just so glorious that you don't care.
Exactly.
But you know, and at least in that case, we aren't. You know, I mean, I like that they did stuff in flashbacks. I like that we kind of moved quickly to him as an adult. I still don't like that we had to wait almost an hour before he puts the goddamn suit on. Enough. At least they got the idea right that, hey, let's recount some of the origin in flashbacks. At least they're starting to understand that. Hey, here's an idea. Superman saves a whatever. Everyone loves Gabriel Hardman's plane scene. So Superman saves the plane, and then we get into flashbacks. But we get some Superman action. He's Superman right at the beginning. What is so friggin' hard about this that we have to wait an hour before? People don't go to see the Clark Kent mopey movie. People don't go to see the Peter Parker mopey movie. They don't go. They go to see the friggin' hero. Bring him on early, and then fill in the blanks. That's what Tim Burton's Batman did best.
True.
Is he started out with Batman. Boom. Batman's on that screen in the first 5 minutes of that movie, and you're like, that is so cool.
Indeed. Although I could have gone with hairy-chested, naked,
on, shocking,
on fire Superman for the entire movie. I say that costume that costume is awful, and you should take it off immediately. So...
Speaking of the costume, you know, the whole, you know, just ongoing blather about, you know, him not wearing his underwear outside his costume anymore. Now, his costume is his underwear.
It's, yeah.
Yes. Seriously. Yes.
It's Kryptonian underwear.
It is. Yeah, it is. It's totally. It's
imagination.
It's Kryptonian long underwear.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind it. I did not mind it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the red shorts being gone. I didn't mind it. It totally did not bother me at all. This was Superman.
The cape was awesome.
Yeah.
Like we just got some really cool cape moments, like that just looked really, really neat.
Do not tug on that, folks. Do not on that cape. No, bad.
Nor should you mess around with Jim. Message but, from oh sorry.
Okay, good. I just wanted to point out who the real villain of the movie was.
Zack Snyder?
Jor-El.
Oh, you think?
If he hadn't stolen the Codex, nobody on Earth would have been hurt.
Hmm.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not, because I think Zod would have come looking for whoever set off that beacon.
But
regardless of where the Codex was, if his job is to protect his people,
he would have been, but he wouldn't have had the genetic material to wipe out humans with.
I know. It was very bizarre why they were fighting over that, but I think Jor-El wanted to save what he could of Krypton.
Yeah, I honestly kept forgetting about that part.
Yeah, I could totally see that another villain, Brainiac, could come over and steal some of the Codex and create a race of super strong computer people.
Mm. Well, I would very much like that not to be the case. I don't if it's another. Now, villain who is only dealing with Earth because Superman's there,
mm-hmm.
then that makes Superman that much more, you know.
If you really wanted to help us, he'd just go away.
It's his fault that all this is happening.
Yeah.
If you would have just left.
Yeah.
Well, I think Zod and Brainiac would be the two I could handle. Just because they're so entrenched in the Superman mythos. I don't think we need Maxima to make an appearance as a villain or,
no.
you know, or Zartox or whatever. I mean,
Brainiac going back to the older idea where he doesn't have the Kryptonian connection.
Mm-hmm. That'd work for me too.
You know, he's coming for Earth. He's not coming for Superman.
Right, right.
Or a Codex clone goes bad and goes backwards. That would be a bizarro movie, wouldn't it?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Just saying. I think they set up a lot with that. The question is, will they pursue it or not? But if you're going to have a Justice League movie, you got to have some villains. That's just...
And if you
and keep... they can't all die at the end of the movie.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was just going to say.
Because that is... Oh, so we're... Okay, we have a Weather Wizard and Rainbow Raider left and Major Disaster. Go. Versus the Justice League. Have fun, kid.
Oh, it's that Justice League. Uh-huh. Can you imagine people would lose their shit?
They would. They would totally lose their shit.
And I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Absolutely.
Of course. Of course we would.
I've been waiting all my life for the two-part Cooey 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 saga to be put on the big screen. Cooey, cooey. Because I'd like cooey. Something where I can laugh, too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And
there needs
and,
to be a little humor in the superhero movies, yes.
Totally. And this is, to me, where the Avengers succeeds in many ways that this doesn't. They have the relentless action, but it doesn't bother me as much because there are enough light moments in between, you know, that may act as a palate cleanser to get you into the next section.
Yeah, and, that's like why Bond always made a quip after he killed somebody.
Totally.
So you weren't horrified by the fact that he's just murdered somebody else.
Mm.
I mean, it gives you a chance to...
Maybe Superman should have done that.
Leave. Maybe.
come on, Zod.
No, don't Superman yeah, doesn't you know,
kneel before this, bitch.
No. And suddenly it's a team up between Superman and Green Lantern, and he says, "Oh, them's the breaks, huh?" You know, that would be wow. But I did. Let's forget how Lois happened to know where the hell Superman was at that moment, because they were flying all over the frickin' city.
Yeah, but yeah, but you say, just go where the last explosion was,
pretty much. But I think that moment between Clark and Lois was very powerful. That after Zod is dead, that moment right there cemented their relationship to me. He needs her as kind of an anchor character in this world to not forget that he's a human being.
Yes.
But I did look it up, just an offside. I don't know if this entered into their logic at all on this. Kansas does have the death penalty. Just saying.
Well, that's fine, but then Zod needs
don't
to be
think
convicted.
That, that Clark Kent is Judge Judy and executioner.
No, I'm just saying from his Kansas upbringing, it's possible that, you know, that's where that came from. But, you know,
no, it was totally that there's no way out of this. There's no way out of this. I have to do this. And then I can't believe I just did that. I must never do that again.
I totally agree with you.
And I thought Cavill really, really sold that in, he's got chops, that guy. He's got chops as well as pecs, apparently.
Oh my God.
You know what though? If I actually thought for a second that in the second movie, that's what we're going to see. We're going to see the guy who realizes, you know, I can't kill. It's not the way to go. If I thought he was going to become the guy that we want Superman to be, I would be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you think he's going to be snapping necks in the next movie too?
Do you think for a second that that's the way it's going to go with the direction DC has been in last 5 years or so?
No, I mean, look what they've done with this incredibly popular video game, the Injustice or whatever, that starts with Superman killing the Joker.
Because why not? He's already killed Zod. Yeah. Joker's easy.
Yeah. It's easy to lay the blame at their feet, but they have little control over how this turns out.
Yeah,
but it is their corporate overlords that decide on
that's
this.
That's what I mean. It's part of the corporate design.
Yeah, it's their incredibly valuable license that they're choosing the direction for it to go, and they're not vetoing these things by saying, you can't have Superman doing that. You're going, well, we'll sell more shirts if he does. Oh, okay.
At the moment, the first weekend's gross seems, you know, this is not going to tell them that they're not going in the right direction.
No, it's not.
No. You know, but see,
they're not going to be like, oh, well, fuck, Mark Waid hated it.
Yeah, right. But in that video game, the Superman who kills Joker, it's another world. And DC fanboys have long grown to accept alternate Earth realities. That's just the way it is.
And that's the which this should be too.
Superman killed Joker in Kingdom Come, written by Mark Waid.
That's true. Good point.
Wait. No, he didn't. Magog did.
No,
Magog did.
That's
no,
right.
Superman couldn't do it.
That's why Superman had to retire.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
So Superman wound up either a murderer or castrated socially. And
no, it's
a good human being.
Yeah. I can't.
Yeah.
I honestly do think, Scott, that judging by the way they made his reaction after that scene, the way that they had that go, you know, I think if they were really truly going in the we don't want him to learn from his experiences, that he would have got up, wiped his hands off, and kicked the body.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't see them making such a big deal over the immediate remorse.
No, that's what the movies will be for. It'll be for him to deal with that and get over it.
Yeah,
and then someone will say, "You used to kill." Well, I don't anymore.
And I think that's kind of our continuing thread through the trilogy or whatever it ends up being, because it's going to be a trilogy because everything's a trilogy.
It'll be at least a trilogy.
It's the law of Toyland.
Yeah,
I hope you're right, but I'm not holding my breath.
I understand. I just can't see the point of shooting that scene. I can't see the point of shooting that reaction to it.
Well, that's just a little tiny bit of appeasement for guys like us. Well, yeah, of course, Superman had to kill that dude, but he totally felt bad about it. Honest.
Yeah, that was kind of my reaction as well.
I don't know. I honestly think that was completely pulled from the, that was, whereas other bits were the birthright moments, that was the burn moment. You know, that was Goyer saying, let's use this part. And yeah, like you say, we'll see. It remains to be seen. I can't say that they will. We can't say that they won't. You know, it's we'll see. We'll have to wait until the next one comes out.
Yeah.
But you know, all that said, you know, again, the grosses indicate that that we will be seeing a sequel to this one, unlike Superman Returns. I just want to read a couple, just a brief thing. I'm just going to read a brief part of Darren Goodhart's review. He's going to have it posted over at the trade site, and we'll get him to post a link to the to our Facebook page when it gets posted there. But he said, and I honestly thought he was going to hate it. I honestly did. And so I was quite surprised to learn that he absolutely loved it. He was really pleasantly surprised at how much he was taking with it. He says, I've heard others describe it as plodding and slow and cold and heartless, and I just did not get that at all. He mentions specifically the moment when Superman starts to figure out how to fly, and that the smile on his face with it, and that was really cool. He says, my biggest gripe, just hate the costume. I still think the traditional look would have worked just as well here, and Cavill certainly has the physique to pull it off. One thing that he didn't mention in his review, but he makes note of it here, he really loved Hans Zimmer's score for the movie, and it was pretty impressive.
It was. It had to stand up to John Williams, but be different. And I think
I think he did a great job of it. Yeah, it's actually, there's only a few scores that I've picked up, and but this one interests me. And he said a little note. He says, I found out after the fact that Amy Adams is actually a fan of Superman, has been trying to get involved with Superman projects for a while now. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, she was in the first season of Smallville as well. He said she wouldn't have been my first choice for the part, but by the end I was sold. And he is also a fan of this version of Krypton. He felt that it seemed like an amalgamation of all sorts of aspects from the comics. And I thought so, too. Like, it really felt like a lot of the Silver Age stuff being brought in, as well as the more sterile burn Krypton. Mm-hmm. It felt like elements of both. And, like, when he hops on and he says, you know, when Jor-El flies off on the winged beast, he says it's the sort of thing you could have seen in an old Mort Weisinger edited issue.
Yeah, totally.
And he mentions the robot being Kellex. I think that it has been mostly polarizing on a lot of aspects of it. I think there are a lot of people that are really digging all the action. There's a lot of people who feel that the darkness of it is a bit much. That was Jan's thing. She's like very gritty.
Yeah. Well, and I think Julian Lytle said it best. I've been reading some of my friends' reviews. He says, it was like watching Anti-Life on the screen. And I was like, I can't say it like Julian could, so I'm not even going to try.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I was just like, damn, baby. Goodness. It was a mess. that this has polarized the fans so very much.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what? If it's getting people talking about Superman, and maybe that's not such a bad thing.
Not a bad thing at all. I've got. Did you read the? You read the Darren one, right?
Yep.
I have. Kyle Murphy said, "Really love Man of Steel. Saw it once. Suspect that he will enjoy seeing it even more a second time." But Jace is in Stewart camp. Jace says, "Never gives a thought to destruction he is causing." Uh-huh. Superman never stops to think about how many people must be dying in all this destruction. Batman was in 3 movies and didn't kill his foes. Yeah, but Batman. This is me. Batman didn't save Ra's al Ghul, now did he? Superman doesn't make it through one. Well, that was Batman's first movie, and Batman, again, didn't save Ra's.
Yeah.
Jor-El is the greatest scientist, and he can defeat Zod, the greatest soldier in hand-to-hand combat. I gotta kind of agree with him there. That was kind of
that's a good point.
Really? Okay, the moments that he did like, he thought Cahill did an awesome job. I think we've all agreed that he was an awesome Superman.
Yep.
All the acting was well above average right from the start. Jor-El, the action hero? I don't think so. No Jimmy Olsen. And Clark at the planet as an afterthought. I liked, actually, that the Daily Planet was not involved until, like, at the very end for Clark.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that Lois's thread and Clark's thread kind of tied there. And I think it was very clear when Lois said, "Welcome to the planet."
I liked that.
That she knows damn well who this guy is. So we don't have to worry.
Well, she knows. She already knew his name.
Yeah.
She already knew his name. She already knew he was.
I know, but it's just in that setting at that moment.
Well, but
she already knew everything.
It's also the double meaning of the. Welcome to humanity. Welcome to Earth. Like that was the bit of like, yes, you are one of us, you are accepted, and so it was, you know, it wasn't welcome to the Daily Planet, it was welcome to the planet.
Yeah. And Jay said, "I love the oil rig scene, though. The whole sequence from Clark disappearing from the crab boat to rig collapsing, that felt the most like a Superman movie to me."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of agree with that. That was really a very Superman thing to do.
Would have been awesome if he'd been in costume by that point. Yeah.
And then he steals clothes.
Well, he was naked, which I'm fine with. Again, I am fine with that. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's one of those acceptable ones, Stuart. Come on.
I like to think that he dropped off money or the clothes nicely cleaned and pressed afterwards.
I mean,
he looked Bill like he Bixby, felt really bad about it.
Bill Bixby stole clothes in every episode of The Incredible Hulk. You're gonna.
Bill Bixby was basic. He was basically a hobo. I mean, come on.
Where does he keep getting all these purple pants? Anyway.
Yeah. Excuse
Bless
me.
Bless you.
Thank you.
That's right.
All right.
I've been doing that all day too. It must be some kind of Man of Steel allergy going around.
Another thing people should go check out is Ty Templeton did a 4-panel review of the movie. And, Scott just sent it to us in a link on the chat, and so it's tytempletonart.wordpress.com, and it's his June 16th post, and he does a 4-panel review of the movie, and it again references the as he calls it, the orgy of death that is the last 20 minutes of the film. and the fact is that yes, the biggest, you know, he disagrees with you, Stuart, in the idea that Jor-El is the biggest villain in the movie. Oh no, it's not him.
No.
Yeah. It's his son.
Oh, okay.
Bless you.
Woo. Excuse me. Yes. Sorry. All right. All right. So we're Man of Steel'd out.
I think we are, but I think the final message here is, no matter what you heard us say, you're gonna have to go see this movie for yourself. As divisive as it is amongst fans, you're only gonna know if you like it if you go see it.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty much a make your own. Make your own opinion, because as you're seeing, there's a lot of things that we all enjoy equally together. and a lot of things that we don't, and there's some things on which we diverge, and this happens to be one of them, and that to me, considering we've got sort of three or four different viewpoints, and there's a few common areas in there, but for the most part, what we've got is some different opinions on it. Check it out for yourself. Make your own opinion, because there's
room for that opinion.
There's lots. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Sorry, I'm just trying to.
Oh, and look for Mark Waid's rant. It's very entertaining. He's actually a good writer.
He is
a good writer, but don't go see a movie with him.
Thrillbent. Yeah, he will embarrass you. Thrillbent.com.
I may have yelled something at that same moment. I'm not sure. I may have.
You blacked out.
Yeah. So his review is can be found on his blog at thrillbent.com, and click on the blog link there, and you'll see it. Or check out his Twitter. He's been talking about it a lot. All right, so I'm just bringing Maddie back.
Okay. No more talk.
Yeah. No, you keep talking.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when Lois Lane was with the three midgets, I thought they've gone too far.
Oh, right. You tell me Lois isn't getting up to some frisky business there. I mean, she's a world-traveling reporter. She's got to get her freak on any way she can. And if it takes three midgets, that's fine.
I don't need to see it, though, in IMAX 3D.
Well, I mean, IMAX 1.5D, really. I mean, midgets.
Maybe.
Maybe it just takes three midgets to equal one Man of Steel. I don't know.
Hey.
It's not for me to say. It's not for me to judge Lois like that.
Hey,
you're just being kind of a bitch now. That's all.
Doesn't judge something.
No, I never judge things. What are you talking about?
Oh man! All right. So I think after we've talked about the all that stuff, let's save the smackdowning and.
Let's pass on that this week.
Let's talk about the. We've got a preview for the next issue of Legion.
We do. And Joss is sad.
Why is that?
He is sad because it is not. There's an Ultra Boy Persuader SmackDown, and it's not being drawn by Portella. It's very upset. But there are six pages, so I'm assuming Legion comes out this Friday. So, and Wednesday. Duh, George. Thanks everybody for not spoiling the last few issues we have of Legion on the Facebook site. We appreciate that. So all of you.
Yeah. Yeah. So actually, you know, the just sort of giving a quick glance to the art, it looks, you know, I like Geoff Johnson's style on it. It's a little less. Hyper real, you know.
Yeah.
But I gotta say, I'm not crazy about the Javier Mena coloring. Mm. I think his coloring is just over rendered, and.
Well, everything in that second page looks purple to me.
Yeah. He just I don't know. I just think he. I think there's a, you know, too much highlighting, too much shadowing, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, so they released this to zaptoit.com, and only three issues left before the end of League of Superheroes. Maybe they should have given it to someone who knows what they're talking about.
Maybe.
Yeah. Issue 21 hits the newsstands Wednesday, June 19th. But before that, Zaptoit has your first look inside the pages of the book. In the comic story, the League of Superheroes team is at a very low point, nearly defeated by the evil Fatal Five. So that's twice you've got it wrong. Whereas in the title, you got it right. And yeah, Blockhead.
I'm taking care of that now.
Thank you. Excellent. Someone is wrong on the internet. I must tell them. At least the cover's by Portella.
Indeed it is.
I guess it's not a...
I have to log in with Facebook and they want all my information. Fuck that.
See?
Of course they do. Data mining is the new way of the world, folks.
Yes, yes, exactly. You guys and your data mining.
Sorry, hire a freaking proofreader, asshats. Anyway.
Indeed.
How's that for judging? Anyway.
Not judgy at all.
Judgmental bastard.
So yeah, we're gonna get a fight with the persuader.
Uh-huh.
And we still don't know who our fifth member is. Do we think Mano?
I think it's Scott.
I think it's Harmonia.
Yeah, I do
too. I think it's Harmonia.
Oh yeah, I like that.
All
that
the
best. Awesome. She does have a dungeon.
She does have a sex dungeon. She is deputy leader, which makes her leader now because apparently Tinya is gone. So
she ran away.
Well, we know what happens to Legion leaders. From our last episode.
Uh-huh.
They get murdered.
Yeah, by Validus.
By Validus.
Mm, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, so, yeah. Well, you know, if that's going to be the case, then it'll be good to hold off. It'll be good we held off the week on that SmackDown then, because I want to see I want to actually see what she can do.
I just think Harmonia is a little bit of a wink and a nod name, like Quizlet was, even though Quizlet never turned traitor. Yeah. I just Harmonia, Harmony, really? Maybe her first name is really Dis, so we'll see. No one knows anything about the woman, okay? So whatever, except she's ancient, apparently.
Yeah, I always wondered if we were going to find that out, and it seems no.
No.
No. I think the better question is, did anyone really care?
Brian Nixon cares, sir.
Yes. He cares a lot.
Sorry, Brian.
He cares a great deal. He stuffed the ballot box, and we all know it. Logging into the internet out there in Utah and Nevada and New Mexico and Oklahoma or wherever he is today. So.
Yeah. Sneaky.
Very, very sneaky. Those Utah people.
All right. That's racist.
The two Utes. How is that racist? Please.
How isn't it, Darren?
Yes. Yes. He can't prove it. He can't prove a negative.
Explain it to me there, hipster boy. I saw you on the internet today with your cape on.
It wasn't a cape. It was a blanket used as a cape.
Completely different.
Pretentious hipster.
Hey, I can't. When some old guy starts singing honky tonk music on a karaoke machine in a hotel parking lot, what are you going to do?
Unplug it?
Wow.
You put on a cape and start striking Elvis poses. Come on.
Oh, Jesus.
That's one way to go.
That's one way to go, yeah. You could always remove yourself from the situation, but no, okay.
When you're in a hotel in the middle of nowhere, you can't really remove yourself from that situation.
You could check out.
Why would you want to do that?
Anyway.
There's a point there somewhere. All right, let's just take a few minutes and...
pray for Brandon Ralph.
Poor guy.
Poor Brandon Routh. Will he?
I think he did a good job. He did a great job.
He had nothing to do. Script. He had nothing to work with. Exactly.
He was stalking.
I love real estate schemes.
Super peeping.
I've got to pull that as a soundbite. I love real estate schemes.
So therefore, I love almost every Superman movie to date.
Exactly. Exactly. I think
when you think about it, there could be a real estate
scheme in the offing.
When you think about it, this movie did have a real estate scheme in it.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Think about it. It
there
did.
There you go. All right. So, moving on. Hey, let's take a brief few minutes and talk about something and each talk about something we're reading that we're enjoying.
Ooh.
Stuart, you're the guest.
Okay. I just read the first three issues of East of West. It's a new, I think it's an Image Comics series, and it's really good. I mean, we're talking science fiction, alternate history, gorgeous art. No idea what's going on, but I like it.
And I believe a trade paperback of the first three issues was solicited in the most recent previews.
Ah. So that's Jonathan Hickman with art by Nick Dragata.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
With Nick Dragata.
And the story is really engaging, but I don't know what's going on, but I'm enjoying it.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm not familiar with Nick. I got to check that out. I really like Hickman's creator-owned stuff, so that's kind of the stuff I dig by him. So that looks neat. Alternate history, you say?
Very.
Would that be steampunky?
It's all over the place.
Okay.
Cool. Who's next?
Well, Maddie.
Well, I am pretty much enjoying everything that is coming out from Valiant currently.
Ah.
So, yeah, can't go wrong with that. But especially like Shadow Man and Archer and Armstrong. Good stuff, good stuff, cool. Good stuff.
Who's doing Archer and Armstrong?
Fred Van Lente.
Ooh,
is nice. Writing.
That's awesome.
And I believe there have been a few different artists. Let me pull it up. I believe Clayton Henry is one of the artists in rotation.
Oh, okay. Former Legion artist.
Yep, former Legion artist. I am trying to pull up the title. My database is not agreeing with me.
But Van Lente's writing it.
And, yes, Fred Van Lente is writing.
Yeah.
Let's see, other...
Fred Van Lente made a good thing out of Marvel Zombies again after a sort of lackluster petering off of the story, so...
Mm.
Yeah, they just list Fred Van Lente and Clayton Henry on the Wikipedia page.
And yeah, I know there have been other artists, but... He is, I believe, the main series artist, but there are obviously variant. Emanuela Lupacino is another artist who has done a lot of issues on it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's faithful enough to the original concept, but it's enough of its own thing that it's worth reading if you're a fan.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Indeed.
Darren?
I broke my Marvel boycott.
Oh, noes.
I did. I've been reading. I know. Call Joey Q now.
Stop the presses.
No. No, well, Justice League wasn't doing it for me, I gotta say. Come on. I started reading Avengers Volume 5. Not minding it. It's Jonathan Hickman, typically, with a different series of artists on it. So, but I'm not reading all the books, just
but
the main one.
It's Hickman writing the Avengers like as Legion, though. So
yeah,
I can
exactly.
See. Yeah, now I get it, yeah.
They even have little symbols, so you know.
I've been reading the New Avengers book and enjoying it.
And which one's New Avengers?
New Avengers is basically the Illuminati book.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
How many Avengers books are there now? Like 8?
I'm just reading one.
8,000.
Well, exactly. I'm reading one, and that's it. Thank you.
Well, I think they've got it so you can do that now.
Which is nice.
Yeah, I'm reading 3 Marvel books now, and I too was had eschewed the entire line, and now I'm reading Hawk Guy, which just should not be missed by anyone, and the Thor series, which is gorgeous and really cool, very Gaiman-esque or Gaimanoid. That was a callback. And then the aforementioned Mark Waid is doing a great job on the Indestructible Hulk, and there was an incredible 3-issue run that Walt Simonson drew that it was
you just
spectacular.
Scott's attention.
Yeah. Oh. the energy on those pages was just spectacular, yeah. Just flying off the pages. I mean, Simonson's still doing. He's doing the best work of his career, and for me to say that as attached as I am to his early stuff, it's gorgeous.
Hmm. Very cool. I may need a moment.
Oh, no. And you're a little moist.
I likes me some Hulk, and I likes me some Mark Waid, and I loves me some Simonson. So, jeez, I don't know how I missed that.
It's a little perfect storm of Scottitude.
That's right. Uh-huh. That's right.
Is there a lot of orange coloring?
I was just
going
to say, paint it with an orange hue, and he's in.
There's some orange.
Why'd they have to go with red Hulk? Damn it! It should have been orange. I guess they would have. I thought that would be more confusing with the thing running around too, though.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you gonna do?
And how about you, sir? What are you reading that you're digging?
I can't read.
Well, we know that. Come on.
As far as picture books go, though. Honestly, my pull list has been decimated by DC's most recent choices, and I'm reading the Suicide Squad right now. That's what's on my pull list, other than My Little Pony and Adventure Time.
Adventure Time.
That's all I get at the comic shop these days.
Yeah. You're a brony. Aw.
And no, but the kids like it, so it's cool. And you know, Katie writes it, so hey, why not?
Oh, true.
I did pick up the newest iteration of Astro City.
Oh, yeah.
I was a little saddened that it was a $3.99 book, but as far as goes, yeah, since they took all of my other titles from me, I guess I can afford it now.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. That's just one less beer for you to drink a week. So
shut your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I was waiting for the trade on that, but
it's just as good as it ever was.
Well, that's really good is. Because I'd been reading it, but then the issues came out more and more sporadically. So I'm just gonna wait until
that's addressed. Done.
It's all in trade now. I think everything up till now has been traded by now.
Yeah.
But the erraticism of the last several years is addressed in the story on the first page. Hmm. Brilliantly. Oh,
yeah. And sorry, for which one?
Astro City.
Oh, right. Okay. Astro City. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Oh, very cool.
Erraticism, is that a word?
Sure, it is now.
Erraticality?
Erraticity?
Irrationality.
Oh, that's a whole different thing.
That is a word. Okay.
There you go. Well, I have been reading lately.
What to expect when you're expecting.
Oh, no. Won't ever need to read that again. no, what I've been reading is it's a book about a bunch of superheroes. They're teenagers. And
Titans.
They're brought together to fight a great evil. It is Titans, in fact.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I'm hanging up on you.
It's an awesome book. It's written by some guy named Marv Wolfman.
Oh, that one.
With art by a guy, Jorge Perez.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been reading actually the first few issues of that series with the kid. We're actually at bedtime tonight. We finished issue 5. Which is where he took a break, and Kurt Swan actually did the first appearance, the first sort of on-panel appearance of Trigon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe could have waited for Perez. I'm a big Kurt Swan fan, but that was not the way to introduce the villain.
I don't know if you want to read that before bedtime, though.
Oh, my kid's fierce with that stuff. But okay. I did have to get to explaining why it is that Raven's daddy's a bad guy and this whole thing. So there was, you know, there was some bits in the next issue where it's like, yeah, so they fight and turn.
Yeah.
We don't need to read that part. And so there is some creative editing of dialogue as we go through them. You know, they don't kill people. They hurt people. It's Deathstroke the Ouchinator. Or sorry, Ouchstroke the Terminator. she's able to identify the characters right away. You know, she's read enough Tiny Titans to know who Starfire is, and she really digs Raven, which means there's going to be some ennui in my future.
Oh yeah.
But you know, she loves Kid Flash, she loves Robin. So we've been reading that, and so today it was really cool. It's like, okay, time to read a bedtime story, and she's like, "Daddy, I want to read Titans."
Okay. So,
and then we followed up Titans with a retelling of Cinderella. So she's got really all her bases covered.
The story of Raven is really the Cinderella tale. Right?
Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. It's edited, you know, down
a again, bit. Yes. Exactly. So I've been going back to deep tracks lately. And
absolutely nothing wrong with that, sir.
That's where I've been at. I picked up Superman Unchained the other day, but I just haven't got room to unfold the the 30-page spread.
Jesus. So.
Yeah. I didn't get it. I couldn't afford it.
Yeah, it was a steep book, wasn't it? Anyway, I haven't had a chance to read it. I did read the first issue of Scott Snyder's Batman Zero Year, and
that was awesome.
It was really good. Yeah, that book has been pretty consistent for me. But other than that, I've been getting caught up on World's Finest, and I am looking to do a little binge read of Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah,
and. So I've kind of actually over the next few days, my reading is going to be basically Suicide Squad and Dial H. And
that sounds like a good time right there.
Oh yeah,
I'll be reading my marketing book in preparation for a test soon. So yeah,
damn,
you have a better choice than me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
Scott, have you been enjoying Suicide Squad? Has it been good?
The new writer is shaking it up a bit, which I like a little. I like it. Yeah. There's still some unanswered questions. Mm-hmm. I'm not entirely sure about this new unknown soldier guy.
Right.
I don't know if anyone reads it, but possible spoilers.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm reading it, but I'm not caught up. But that's fine.
We get the reintroduction of one James Gordon Jr.
Mm. Oh yeah, yeah. He's been.
Oh well, he's been in Batgirl.
Yeah, he's been around.
Oh good. Well, he's around here too.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
He's making the rounds after.
He's working for the squad.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's going to be in one of the sort of back office positions, not on the field.
For now.
That's creepy. That's
interesting, creepy. Right?
Yeah. For sure.
So there's definitely some cool stuff that can happen. While I'm not a huge fan of the Harley Quinn as she stands at the moment, it's still better than something. I'm not sure what, but something. Yeah. I like the it's more political espionage and intrigue stuff is in there, and I like that. So
yeah.
I'll keep going with it until it really makes me angry.
There you go. Cool. All right. Well, we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
Indeed.
You know, at some point, somebody needs to do a Suicide Squad podcast. I'm just saying.
Again?
Okay. Yeah. Someday. Someone really should.
Indeed.
Someday someone will. I feel positive.
Indeed.
Really? Okay.
Someday.
Someday. Maybe on another world. Yeah.
At least once a year.
At least, yeah. At least. All right. Comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join in the conversation over on our Facebook page. That's easy to find at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. Or if you're already sitting in the Facebook, you can just type in the search box, Legion of Substitute Podcasters. It'll bring you right to us. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all those things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, and you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And with that, we make our way back into the time bubble and head on back to, well, maybe not to 21st century Metropolis. I'm just saying. And we will see you all next week.
Joyless.